We've had lots of talk about the NSA and encryption and secrecy over the last couple of months, and my next guest has written considerably about it in the last couple of days after actually seeing some of the top secret documents that Edward Snowden has leaked to The Guardian, Glenn Greenwald, and The New York Times, and other sources around the world. His name is Bruce Schneier, internationally recognized security expert, who I've had the pleasure of talking with several times through the years. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure talking to you. A couple of days ago, we got a new revelation from some of the Snowden papers that the NSA has broken the encryption for the Internet. Does that mean they can access everything that's online now?
So we don't know. A lot of this is still shrouded in secrecy. What we do know is that the NSA is able to break most of the encryption that's widely used on the Internet. They do this actually mostly not through high-powered mathematics, but through trickery. They have broken some of the encryption algorithms used, either by agreements with the large companies that make these products, or by, and this is kind of amazing, having moles in the corporation to surreptitiously change code. They do this by stealing keys and certificates and passwords, and they do this somewhat with some mathematics. So we don't have all of the exact details, but we do know that they are incredibly proud of their ability to defeat most of the encryption that most of us use on the Internet.
Okay, when you're talking about working with these companies, we're not just talking about the big online companies like Google and Facebook and the rest. We're actually talking about some of the companies that make some of the software that's supposed to protect our computers from being attacked, right?
That's exactly right. And again, we don't have names, but you can assume it's companies like Microsoft, Symantec, Network Associates, companies that make the VPN software we use, companies that make the electronic commerce software we use. We're starting to see stories. I mean, I am collecting personal stories of government agents going to these companies and saying, hey, can you please make this security product bad in a secret way? Tell us, and we'll all pretend it doesn't happen. So it's either done through asking nicely, through coercion, and sometimes through actual threats, and in extreme cases, national security letters. So they're doing all of these things in an effort to make us all less safe. I mean, that's the real point here and why I'm so incensed, that the NSA is deliberately making the Internet less safe for all of us in this attempt to facilitate eavesdropping.
All right. Explain to me how we are less safe by what the NSA is doing.
So what they are doing is not, I mean, when you think of the NSA, you think of them as spying on our enemies, right? They're going to go into China and Russia and Iran and hack into their networks and steal their secrets. I mean, this all sounds good. North Korea, we want them to do that. But they're doing something else entirely. Instead of attacking the specific people they want to listen to, they're attacking the security software that we all use, both them and us. So they're weakening the security that our enemies are using and also weakening our security. So now suddenly we are at risk. Right? The conceit here is that only the NSA knows about these backdoors, which is, of course, ridiculous. Lots of examples of backdoors put in that criminals use, other governments use. Right? So by making it easier for them to spy on China, they're making it easier for China to spy on us. That seems dumb.
Is the NSA using it to spy on us as well? Because that's supposedly prohibited by federal law.
Everything we see says that they are. That when they collect traffic in the Internet backbone, and that's the way they mainly do it, they collect everything. Right? So you can't collect just foreigners' data. For example, if they're going after Gmail, when they see a Gmail account, they don't know where it's from. It's a Gmail account. So they have to collect it. When they see VPN traffic, that's private network traffic that you might use when you are traveling and want to hook into your home office network, and it's sort of special security software. When they break that, they're breaking that for everybody, including Americans. So yes, this is being used to spy on Americans. They claim they have minimization procedures. We know they're not working. They claim they're not saving it. We know that that's a lie. And the scary thing here is whenever we hear from the NSA, we're not doing this. In 2 weeks, there's a new revelation that they are.
Yeah.
I'm running out of the ability to trust them because they can't seem to say something that's true.
And they're even saying it to Congress. They're lying to Congress about that, because then we find out, sometimes through the Snowden leaks, sometimes through other revelations, that what somebody said, Clapper or others, in front of Congress, turned out to be absolutely false. Why isn't anything done about that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, to me, it is a testament to both Clapper and General Keith Alexander, he's the head of the NSA, to their power that they still have a job. I mean, imagine, you're the head of the NSA, someone walks out the door with tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of top secret documents, you have no idea they did it, they go public, it's months later, you have no idea what they took, revelation after revelation appears showing that you have exceeded your authority and broken the law, and you still have a job? I mean, what's going on here?
So, Bruce, what can the average American who wants to keep their stuff online but also wants to keep it private, how can they do that?
Well, what they have to do is advocate for political change. Unfortunately, there is nothing the average American can do. I mean, we can do things like not put our data on cloud services, right? Not use an iPhone, not use Google, not use Facebook. But, I mean, those are solutions that don't make sense. We like using those things, right? We want to use them. We want to use electronic commerce. We're not going to go live in a cave and throw away our computer. I mean, this really is a problem that has a political solution. We need to agitate that Congress rein the NSA in. The NSA is a rogue agency. I mean, it reminds me of J. Edgar Hoover's FBI. They're so powerful. They can do whatever they want. There's no transparency. There's no oversight. That's what we need. It's government's job to do that. So I don't have any clever tricks to make us safe that you can do on your computer. This is hard political work.
One of the things that is interesting to me about this is how disinterested most Americans seem to be about privacy. And the proof of that is everything that they're willing to share about their lives online. And the fact that many Americans still use 1234 as their password, or the word password as their password. They're not paying attention to much of this.
Well, to be fair, it's 123456 and it's password 1. So we've gotten a little better.
Okay. We're very sophisticated. Here's my question, though. How much should we be worried about the stuff that we really do need to have encrypted online, and that is our financial business that we're doing either with our bank or some other financial institution? How easy is that for somebody who wants to take a look at it to take a look at?
So it depends on who. We know that the U.S. government has used national security letters to get at financial data. And this is not a matter of encryption, right? Encryption is going to protect the data as it's in transit, as you communicate with your bank. When the bank gets the data, they have to decrypt it. They have to use it, right? It's their data. It's about your account. So if the government goes to the bank and says, tell me the transaction history, or think of maybe your credit card, tell me this person's transaction history, there's no encryption that's going to protect you because the company has that data. So again, we need laws to protect us. Other financial data is vulnerable to criminals. We know there are lots of hacking against banks, lots of successful cyber attacks, and the mechanisms are different. We do know that terrorists use cyber crimes, that other governments use cyber crime. So there's a whole lot of this going on. I mean, it's not something we talk about much, right? Cyber terrorism gets the headlines, but these cyber crimes tend not to. And again, what protects you are the laws. Right? It's the bank who should be liable if someone breaks into your account and steals your money. It's not your fault.
But even if you had those laws in place that restrained the NSA from doing it, the good guys supposedly doing it, what's going to keep the bad guys from doing it, Bruce?
Well, we need good security. I mean, we are better at security every year. I mean, these new revelations notwithstanding, we actually thought we were doing pretty well, and every year we get better. And there's always going to be crime in society. Right? The murder rate is never zero. The burglary rate is never zero. What we want to do is keep it down to some acceptable minimum that society can thrive. And I think we can do that. We're getting better at it. It's an arms race. But the NSA is now just cheating. They've made everything we do much, much worse. And now we have to fix it, right? We have to get our security back. I'm not going to live with substandard security just so the NSA can eavesdrop on me. I mean, that makes no sense.
Yep. The most important part of this to me is we've got people who are supposedly in charge of this, who are supposedly answerable to Congress, and Congress is not making them answer for it. Bruce Schneier, internationally renowned security technologist. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend, every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks. America Weekend.